So this is a Gemara. Daf Vav Amud Aleph in Brachos. It's speaking about God wearing tefillin. Right? So now we're going to try and understand what does that mean, God wears tefillin. And also we're going to try and understand what is tefillin. Hopefully, whenever you see a Gemara, which is an Agadata, which explains something, we're supposed to understand the concept. Now, we'll see how much of the concept we can understand. We're going to understand a little bit of the concept. But and then we'll understand what tefillin does for us, what it means, what it's here for. Okay? So we'll try and understand. Let's see. Omar Rabbi Yavin. Says Rabbi Yavin. Ba Rav Adin. In the name of the son of Rav Adam. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak. In the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. Minayin. From where do we know? Shekurish Baruch Hu Miniach Tefillin. How do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin, right? I mean, he wears them, but how do we know that? Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. Yassitzis, he wears tefillin. I mean, what does that mean? Shneema, nishba Hashem b'yimino. Hashem makes a shvua, an oath, with his right hand. Ubezrua uzo, and in his hand, he has his strength. In his zrua, in his like arm, he has his strength. Biyamino, in his right hand, zu Torah, that's Torah. Shneema, miyamino eish dat lamo. From his right hand comes the fire of Torah to his people. Bezrua uzo, and on his arm, i.e. the left hand, elu tefillin. Those are tefillin. So from that we know that God wears tefillin. Why? How do we know that Oz is tefillin? Shneema, Hashem Oz la'mo yitei. Hashem gives strength to his people. And that's what his left hand represents, the strength, whatever, the Oz. Uminayin shat tefillin Oz. How do we know that tefillin is the strength, is representing the word Oz, strength? Hem, li Yisrael, to the Jewish people. I.e. tefillin give the Jewish people strength. And therefore, when a Kodesh Baruch Hu in his left hand has Oz, that's referring to his tefillin. Dichtiv, v'ra'u kol ame ha'aretz. We see all the people of the world, the land. Kishem Hashem nikra alecha. Sorry, no. V'ra'u and yir'u. And they will be fearful of you, all the people of the land. Ki Hashem Hashem nikra alecha. Ki, sorry, they will see the people of the land, that the name of God is written on you. V'yir'u mimcha, and they will be frightened of you. Okay? Okay. V'tanya, and we learn in the Braisa, the pshat in this pasuk, Rabbi Yezer Gadol, Rabbi Yezer says, Omer, Eilu tefillin shebarosh, these are tefillin that are in your head. So we see that fear of the people comes when they see Shem Hashem nikra alecha, the name of God which is called on you, and this is tefillin, and therefore tefillin represents the strength, represents Oz, and since it's Oz, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his left hand has Oz, has strength, therefore that must be what he has on his left hand. He has Torah on his right hand, and on his left hand he has tefillin, and tefillin in our head represents strength. What's the strength? The people are fearful of from you, right? People of the world are fearful of you. Why? Ki shem Hashem nikra alecha. The name of God is called upon you. You represent the name of God, right? And therefore they're fearful from you. So somehow tefillin represents strength. What strength? How do we know it's strength? Because people are fearful from you. If someone's strong, you know, a big he-man walks in and he's worried you're going to start off with someone, right? You're going to be frightened. So tefillin cause fear. That means they represent strength. What strength does it represent? The name of God is called on you. So somehow tefillin's associated, our tefillin at least, the name of God is represented on us when we wear tefillin. Yeah, question?
Was it called tefillin shebirosh as opposed to
shorosh? Yeah, it's a good diyuk. The Gro makes that diyuk. We're going to get there. We'll get there. First, I read you the Galata. I explain the simple concepts. Why it says tefillin shebarosh. Tefillin in your head. Okay, I'll tell you the Gro. The Gro says as follows. Why does the Gemara say tefillin shebarosh? So there's a story. So the Gaon went with his, you know, on his way, and you know it was in the time of those times you know people used to go on the ways. It could be very dangerous. You know, you'd have all sorts of robbers and bandits and stuff like that. And the Gaon went through a certain place, which is a very difficult place, and nothing happened to him. So they asked him, how comes? So he said, I was wearing tefillin. And he told them this pasuk. So they did it. And they wore tefillin. And something happened. So he said, we also wear tefillin. And you know, there wasn't the fear of the people of the world, the people of the land. There wasn't fear for us. So he said, you didn't learn the Gemara properly. It doesn't say tefillin al harosh, tefillin on your head. It says tefillin sheberosh, in your head. So what does it mean? Tefillin ala rosh, tefillin shebarosh? So is that something we have in our heads? What's in our heads? Obviously, the pasuk is saying, Kishem Hashem nikra alecha. God's word, right, is called on you. What do you mean God's word is called on you? God's name is called on you. That means there's a recognition in you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called on you. You know the name Yehuda, right? We're called Yehudim. We're called Jews, yeah? Jude, we had written, right? It's called from Yehuda, right? What does Yehuda represent? Yehuda, if you look at the word Yehuda, if you take away the Dalet, you have Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. Yehuda, we all know, represents Malchus in Klal Yisrael, represents kingship in Klal Yisrael, right? What's a Jew? We're called after tribe of Yehuda. What's a Jew? Why is Yehuda Malchus and he has the name of God if you take out the Dalet? The concept of Malchus, the concept of kingship, is a king is a servant to his people. A king is Libo Shel Ha'am. He's Meshubad and he's the heart of the people. That basically, he's Meshubad to his people, he's Meshubad to the people's needs. Right? That's what a king is. He doesn't have a life. All that he does is for the people. Malchus, Dalet, represents Dalvania, it's poor. Malchus represents, Yehuda, who represents Malchus, so it's brought down in places that Malchus represents Leis Lei Megame Klum, it doesn't have anything of itself. He's Meshubad, he's completely there for the people he's serving. That's what a king, a real king, a Jewish king, right? David HaMelech used to be Mitaheh. Right? The early morning, he used to get up, v'mitaha isha lebala. He used to be, check things of a woman, the shilia, if it was a proper pregnancy, it wasn't a proper pregnancy, it was dam, pure dam. That's what king does. His hands were meluchlach dam, was dirty with that. That's what king does. That's a Jewish king. He's mitaha isha lebala. He's meshubad la'am. From the morning he's dealing with Sorchei Ha'am. Sorchei Amecha Merubim. The needs of my people are great. All the time he was dealing with the needs of the people. That's a Jewish king. He doesn't have from himself. He's just an expression of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's will in the world. That's the concept of Dalvaniya. The purpose of that Dalet is to make it into a hay. What's a hay? Hay means hay lecha. Ha lachmanya. Here's the lechem of our affliction. Right? Hey means complete expression. So we take the Dalavaniya, through the Dalavaniya, through a itbatlus, through a nullification of self, we go from a Dalet to a Hey. That's what Malchus is. And when we get the Hey becomes the Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yehuda represents the ability to express God's name in the world. So that's what a Jew is. Jew is a Jew. We're named after Yehuda. That's where the name Jew comes from, Yehudi. Yehuda, it comes from the tribe of Yehuda. A Jew is a person who is the expressor of God in the world. That's what it means. Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha. The name of God is called on you. Everyone who sees you in your action sees, ah, he's an Oved Hashem. Ah, he's what he does is what Hashem wants in the world. Ah, that's what he represents, right? That's a Jew. That's the purpose of a Jew. We're a light to the nations. We're expression of God's will in this world. We represent the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. That's what a Jew is. That's the name we have. We actually, our name is the name of God. Yeah? You know, there's certain cults in America, you know, called, I don't want to say the name because it's the name of God, they call themselves the Jer something witnesses, right? That's Yud Kei Vav Kei as it's written. We're not allowed to read it as it's written.
Is that the correct pronunciation, how they say it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's because it's in English, so.
Right, but, that's right.
Yeah, but it's exact. But it's near enough. But that's where it comes from. They're the new Jews. They're right. That's what we're called. They got it, you know, they got it wrong. They missed out the Dalet, right? They missed out the Dalet because they don't understand that concept of completed batlus to be expressed God's name. There has to be a Dalet. You have to have something to be mevatel in order to be an express of God's will. If it's a malach, it's not an express, it's an express of God's will. But the purpose of this world is the nullification of self. That means you have to have a self to nullify in order to express God's will in the world. Your expression of God's will, your own particular creative expression of God's will. That's what a Yehudi is. That's what a Jew is. Now, we're going to understand what tefillin is. So far this Gemara is explaining to us that tefillin represents our oz in the people, our strength. What's the strength of a Jew in the world? That the name of God is expressed through him. And that's what tefillin is. So we're understanding now. Tefillin is this expression that when we're wearing tefillin, we're somehow expressing God's will. Doesn't mean tefillin on our head, tefillin in our head. We're expressing God's will in this world. So we're a little bit, we're going to, I did that for you because you asked a question now, but I would have done that in the end. We're going to work out this Gemara. What is tefillin? Little by little, we'll picture an idea of what tefillin is. Okay? Romalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak says, the Rav Chiya ba'avin, Hani tefillin the Mare Alma, the tefillin of God, right, the master of the world, maktiv behu. What's written in them? Good question, right? Like we have parashiyot. You know, what do we have in our tefillin? We have like four compartments on our head, and we have one compartment here. Whatever four is written here on four separate scrolls, separate, is written one all together here. Right? We have to understand what that is, right? Okay. Now, and why is it square, right? I mean, you know, this is our Wi-Fi, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? It is. See, we have spiritual Wi-Fi. This is our spiritual Wi-Fi, right? That's what tefillin is. But we'll get there. So now we're going to work out. What is this tefillin? So, before I go on with this Gemara, okay, I'll read this Gemara now, and then we'll go back. We're going to have to read this Agarata again, because we're not understanding it. You understand? We're reading stuff that we don't understand. So now it says, so what's written in it? Amalei, Mi ka'amcha Yisrael. Who is like your people, Yisrael? Goy echad ba'aretz, right? One nation in this world. Mi mishtabach kuchabrichu b'shivchayhu the Israel. So the Gemara asks, what's written God's tefillin? Who's like the Jewish people, right? One nation in this world. So it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is praising, right, himself with the praise of the Jewish people. So Gemara says, in, yes. So is the Kasha, what's the Havamina? How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to be praised in this world? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way he expresses himself in this world needs to be praised? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kulo tov, that needs a praise? Then we're saying, yes, he is. So what's the Havamina? HaKadosh Baruch Hu intrinsically does not require to be praised in this world. But what's the purpose of creation of this world? To express himself in this world. Who's his expression? The Jewish people. When are we a full expression of God's of God in this world? When we're in unity, when we're in oneness. Amcha Yisrael are together. When the Jewish people are together, that's a sign of God's unity in the world. Like the Pasuk says, right? Nefesh, Shivim Nefesh, Yaradu L'Mitzrayim. By Yaakov it says one Nefesh of 70 people, 70 soul went to Mitzrayim. You know, we're very bad in grammar, Chumash. right? We start off the Chumash with a grammatical mistake. In the middle, there's plenty of grammatical mistakes, right? 70 souls, you know, 70 souls, I should say, isn't 70 soul?
No.
Right? Even, you know, even my children don't make such mistakes. You know, I could, but my children don't, right? So God, Moshe didn't know Hebrew, right? Didn't know grammar. What's happening here? It's a drosha. Chazal teaching you something. Why Yaakov, when he went into Golus, was called one nation, with one soul? Why? Why? Going into Golus is causing pirud. Is going to cause you separation. That's what Golus is. Golus, the reason for Golus is separation. Like Haman said, we're coming up to Purim soon. Am mefuzel mefurad bein ha'amim. A people who are separate from other people. They're dispersed. If they're dispersed, we can get them.
Don't we call ourselves separate?
Huh?
We call ourselves
separate. Oh yeah, of course we call ourselves separate. Who causes? Right? We cause, it's our problem. But Yaakov Avinu, the Shivim Nefesh that went to were one Nefesh. And Harashi says, why were they one Nefesh? Because they all served one God. They had one Rotzen. To Kodesh Baruch Hu Shebe Shamayim, to Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world. One Rotzen, one will. They were separate people. They had their own ways of expression. But they had one ultimate will in the world. Okay. So that's Yaakov. By Esav, it says, Rashi, same Rashi brings, nefashos, souls. And what does Chazal tell us there? It tells us that by Esav, right? By Esav, what's happening? There were many souls. Why? Because each of them served their own Avodah Zarah. Each of them served their own little Avodah Zarah, their own little needs. You know, I want this, and I want this, you know. I want a shushi, I want a kebab, I want a thing, right? Everyone had his own desires. They were separate. If you become physical, you're separate. You think about only yourself. What you want to do, what you want to enjoy, how you want to enjoy. You don't care about other people. It's irrelevant to you. Yaakov Avinu is one soul. All his kavana was for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for doing the right thing, for mechaven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shebishamayim. Right? Okay, so it says, goes on. Then it goes. I explained why it says yes, because why is a Kodesh Baruch Hu needs that? Because without us being one, we are not an expression of Kodesh Baruch Hu. When we're separate in this world, when we're not one people, we're an expression of each of our individual rotsim, each of our individual ways. When we're one, the expression of Kodesh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. You understand the concept? That's the Havamin, the Maskan of the Gemara. Dichtiv, et Hashem he'marta hayom, v'Hashem he'mircha hayom. This is a pasuk. Says here, Loshen chashivis, he'marta, Rashi says Loshen chashivis, a Loshen of importance, v'shevach, i.e., just as the Kodesh Baruch Hu has make me one aguda, one group in this world, for you being one and therefore an expression of me in this world. And I will make you also one in this world. Atem, you, asituni chativa achad ba'olam, you make me one in this world. By what? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. I.e., HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expression, all that's expressed in the world is the unity of Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ani eseh etchem chativa achad ba'olam, and I'll also make you a unity in this world. Dichtiv, Shneema, Mi ka'amchi Yisrael, goy echad ba'aretz. You are one nation in this world. Okay? So I'm just reading you the Gemara. So somehow, Shema Yisrael, and this is what I was saying, being Shema Yisrael, being one with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, seeing the unity of God in the world, seeing that everything is just a manifestation of God, and therefore living according to that, makes us into one nation, for that same reason that I mentioned that Rashi. That we're all serving one God. Amaleir of Acha Bereda Rava, Rav Ashi, Tinech B'chad Beta, so we understand what's written in one house of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, B'Shabbat, in the other compartments, what's written? My, what's written? Amale, kimi goy gadol. Who is this? Who is a great nation like my people? Umi goy gadol. Another pasuk saying the praise of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ashrecha Yisrael, happy are you Yisrael. O Hanisa Elokim, Ulatetcha Olyon. All shvachim of Klal Yisrael in the world. Ihachi says, Nafishim luhu tuve. There's too many batim. There's five according to this. Ela, kimi goy gadol, or mi goy gadol, they're similar. The damian adar, they're similar. Bechad baita, they're in one house. Ashrecha Yisrael, mi kamcha Yisrael, bechad baita, they're also in one house. Or, henasa Elokim, bechad baita, letetcha elyon, bechad baita. Okay, they're also in one house. Vekulukti bedare, and all are written on his hand. Now, let's try and understand. What is this Oz? What is this Oz? What's the strength that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gets, right? From putting us as one nation, or praising the praise of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, praise of Klal Yisrael, on his tefillin.
Oz,
the strength. What strength? And why does a Kodesh Baruch Hu need strength? Well, he's not strong intrinsically. He needs our strength. He needs our tefillin, our praise to be put there. And what's, and if we're understanding our tefillin, what's in our tefillin? So Rashi says, "Bishlomo b'tfilin didan in our tefillin." That makes sense. We know what's written in our tefillin. "Ktiv Shema Yisrael v'ayayim Shamoa," right? "V'kadosh liko b'cho v'yakiviecha parshiyot." These are parshiyot shenitztavu b'em l'shum zichron mitzvotal. These are parshiyot that are written a remembrance of our mitzvahs. Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a sign and a remembrance of the people of Israel. Right? So our tefillin, what does our tefillin have? Our tefillin has zichron mitzvotav, a remembrance of what? The mitzvahs of Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded us. That's what our tefillin. So how does our tefillin relate to Kodesh Baruch Hu's tefillin? Kodesh Baruch Hu's tefillin has the praise of Klal Yisrael. Our tefillin has mitzvahs, remembrance of the mitzvahs. What's the mitzvah for? What's a mitzvah? It's the rotzen of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. To remind us of the rotzen of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. How do we get Oz in this world? How do we Shem Hashem Ekra Nikra Alecha? When the tefillin on our head, which is called an ot.
An ot?
An ot, a sign. The tefillin on our head is called an ot. Right? It's called a sign.
Where is it called then?
What do you want to call
it?
That's a word. That's a word. Sign. It's a word for sign. We have many otot. Shabbos is an ot. Tefillin is an ot. Bris is an ot. Tefillin is considered an ot, right? Tefillin is considered a sign. Why is tefillin considered a sign in our heads? What's the sign of tefillin? Sign of what? So Rashi is telling us it's a sign of zichron mitzvotav, to remind us of the mitzvah. That's tefillin on our head. When tefillin becomes in our head, what then happens? So the Gro was saying, when you have tefillin in your head, that's tefillin shibarosh, that gives you Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha. What's memory? What's to remember something? A remembrance. What's a memory? Zicharon. This comes from Loshon Zachar. Male, right? What's male about memory?
Wow.
What's male? It's a Gemara. It's a Gemara in Baba Basra. It says they made a mistake with Zeichar Amalek and Zeichar Amalek, right? To remember Amalek or to the male of Amalek to kill. It was a mistake. If a teacher teaches you, right? If a teacher teaches you wrongly, he teaches you the males of Amalek instead of the remember Amalek, you're going to make a mistake. You're going to kill males of Amalek. You're not going to kill all of Amalek, right? So in such a thing, so from that Gemara, you see there's a relationship between remembrance and male. What's a connection? What does memory represent? Memory is a potential. Memory represents a potential. A male, what does a male have that he, when he gives to, he's giving potential. A male represents potential. His essence he gives over to a female and becomes something, right? That's what memory is. Memory is a potential. So when we have zichron in our heads, what does that happen? That becomes a more, when it's outside our heads, it's just a memory. When it's in our heads, it becomes a more full potential. It becomes a fuller expression, becomes now something that's in us, something that's about us. when the mitzvahs become something which is our whole potency, our whole potential, our whole expression, then Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha. And that's what tefillin Shibarosh means. That's what tefillin is. Tefillin's a sign to remember the mitzvahs, to remember Zichron Mitzvotav, to remember. But the purpose of tefillin on our heads is to give us tefillin in our heads, to make that remembrance something which becomes a potent potential. You understand what I'm saying? That's what tefillin. And then Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha. So now what is tefillin of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? He has a potent potential. What's a Kodesh Baruch Hu? What's the remembrance? He's remembering. What is he remembering? The potential of Klal Yisrael. He's praised by the potential of Klal Yisrael, that we're a nation who's miyachid shmo, a nation who makes one his name, a nation who was praised for our gdula in sitkas, in righteousness. The praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the potential of Hashem. Kiviyochol. As if, not literally, that's the potential of Hashem. That's the potential for Hashem to have expression in the world. We, when Klal Yisrael behave with unity, that potential is in the head of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kiviyochol. What does that mean? It's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu has strength. Why in his left hand does he need strength? In his right hand he has Torah. In his left hand he needs strength. Why in his left hand does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need strength? Usually your left hand, and we learn from tefillin. Why we put tefillin on our left hand?
It's
weaker. Yadecha. Yadka, says the Gemara. The weaker hand. It's a drosha. So why is tefillin an expression of strength in your left hand?
I thought it was the love cause, you want to be your heart.
Yeah, that's also negative your heart. But the drosh of Chazal is yadka, the weaker hand. So why does a Kodesh Baruch Hu, why does he need that our left hand, his left hand is called strength? Why needs strength in his left hand? What's the left hand represent? So we all know, your right hand represents chesed, and your left hand represents gvura, din. Right? Okay. So there's a strength that he needs in his left hand, strength that he needs in his left hand. Gvura means judgment. Chesed is loving kindness. So the Gemara in Sota says, Torah tchilato chesed v'sofo chesed. It starts with Adam HaRishon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dresses him. He was naked, he dresses him. The beginning it's chesed, and the end it's chesed, when it buries Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a Gemara in Sota. So why is the Torah, the beginning is chesed, the end is chesed? Well, what's in the middle? It's telling us, since it starts and ends with chesed, all of the expression of Torah is chesed. The full expression of Torah in the world is chesed. That's why Torah is on mercy. It's called Rahmana, mercy, chesed. Right? It's called Rahmana, mercy. That's what Torah is. That's what it represents. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Why on our left hand do you need strength?
Yeah, what's the question? We were intended to wear tefillin all the time.
Yeah.
But we don't because we can't keep our thoughts pure the whole day.
Because we can't what?
We can't keep our thoughts pure all day.
Yeah. Goof nucky. You can't have a...
Hashem wears tefillin all day.
Yeah, Hashem doesn't have a problem. There's no problem there. But okay. So now, what is this representation of our tefillin? What does this represent? What does it represent, a Kodesh Baruch Hu? We need strength on his left hand. Din, a Kodesh Baruch Hu's midah is a midah of din. A Kodesh Baruch Hu, we learned from tefillah last week, right? Or 2 weeks ago. That a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? What's he praying for? That yigolu, yikvishu ka'asav, yigolu rachamav al ka'asav, that we express... His left hand, which is his hand of din, will not be expressed in this world. You with me? It will not be expressed in this world. You need strength. You need strength for that. You don't need strength to judge. You need strength not to judge with din. And that's what tefillin does. That's why we wear our tefillin when we daven. Especially when we daven. Because tefillah is that strength, gives the strength to Kodesh Baruch Hu to be merachim with us, to have mercy on us. And tefillin gives that reminder to Kadosh Baruch Hu, if we have tefillin shebarosh, if our tefillin has a hashpa, there's tefillin in our heads. When tefillin's in our heads, and that we are living with the potential of expressing the mitzvahs, that's what tefillin is, then it's an ot, then it gives a Kadosh Baruch Hu strength to be noeg with us, api midas ha chesed v'arachamim, and not api din. You understand? That's what tefillin does. Now, why right and left hand? You know, whenever you work, if you're doing something, you ever tried doing something with one hand? Try bowling with one hand. You need it for balance, right?
No.
Okay, he's good though. But most people need two hands to juggle something, right? You need two hands to do something. Even if you're writing, you need the other hand. You hold the book. You're doing. Most people need two hands to do something. The two hands work together more or less. You can work with one hand. There's a main hand. So when we were saying the Kodesh Baruch Hu's right and left hand of Torah and Tefillin, they must be related. They must be helping each other out. So somehow Torah must help Tefillin, or Tefillin must help Torah. Right?
Right?
I mean, the main hand, so he's writing with his right hand, but he's holding the book with his left hand, right? The left hand is usually the one that's helping the right hand.
Stabilizing things.
Yeah.
Things.
It's like right? Basketball.
Right? Right? Yeah. It's helping. Okay? So that means tefillin must be helping Torah. So now if we look at the psukim, and Rabbeinu Yonah actually brings this as a reason for the mitzvah. What's the reason for mitzvah's tefillin? Says Rabbeinu Yonah. And it's a pasuk of the Torah. If you read Chumash, you'll get it yourself. It says, "Leman tiyu Torah Hashem b'ficha." In order, the words of God will be on your mouth. Huh? So tefillin gives us strength because it gives us potential to doing the mitzvahs. But tefillin also is in order that the words of Torah will be on our mouths. So it's like, you know, like some sort of vessel that helps us to have Torah on our mouths. How? What does it do? Hocus pocus, what's happening here? You put this black box, right? Your Wi-Fi to Shemayim, right? And you have tefillin, you have Torah. It helps us, we understand how it helps us, gives Kodesh Baruch Hu strength. Yeah, we understand. Because if we have in us the potential to be the expressors of his mitzvahs, that makes us, right? A chativa achad, a unity in this world. Because that's what makes us a unity, right? That we're all doing God's will. That makes us one in this world. When we're one in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be mashpia on us, tov, on goodness. He can give us goodness. When we're separate in this world, when there's no shalom, there's no brocha, he can't be mashpia, he can't influence us with his goodness. You understanding? Clear? Okay. So now we have to understand, why is tefillin representing Torah, the helper of Torah? How does that work? The same thing. When we came to Har Sinai, right? When we came to Har Sinai, Vayichen Sham Neged Ahar. Doesn't say Vayachanu, Klal Yisrael plural, they camped. Klal Yisrael is a group. It says they camp. Singular. Another grammatical mistake. So Chazal tell us, Vayichen Sham Ke'ish Echad B'lev Echad. As one people with one heart to the Rotzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see the Hechsher, a prerequisite to Torah, is the unity of the Jewish people. And that's what we're going to learn. We're going to learn about Purim soon, right? What happens on Purim? We give Shlach Manas, we give all sorts of things to unify us. Because what happened? Haman only had Shlita, only had dominion on Klal Yisrael, because we were separate. That's what he told. That's Am Mefuza Mefura. That he knew that he could have Shlita, he could have influence in Chas V'Shalom, destroy Sonei Shel Yisrael. What happened on Purim? The fear of death brought us together. Vayichan Sham Tachataha. It brought us together as a people. That's why Purim, the mitzvahs of Purim, when we come near to Purim, we'll speak about it, right? The mitzvahs of Purim is a hechsher of the Yichen Sham. And Amalek only has Shlita on Klal Yisrael when we're Rofui Minatorah, Mirifidim, when we're weak with the Torah. When are we weak with the Torah? When we're a separate nation. Because we don't have Vayichen Sham, we don't have Kabbalah Satorah. We don't have the unity of the people. We don't have the chef of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's will in this world, Kabbalah Satorah. When we go into Golos, like Yaakov, Shivim Nefesh, one unity, 70 soul, not plural. That's the only way we can stay in Golos. That's the only way we can survive in Golos. And the only way of doing that is when we all have one thought, the potential for expressing God's will. That's what brings us to that unity, our own individual way of expressing, right? But that's one expression, or in our own individual way. We don't need to wear different clothes to be, you know, you see all these Haredim, right? Black. Let's guess what the rabbi wears. Blue or black or dark grey, right? What colour shirt? White. What sort of, like, some sort of, like, that? You can't really wear a very red tie. It doesn't go with, I don't know, thing, right? I guess your tie can be a little bit different. No, everyone wears ties, right? Okay. And a black hat. So everyone looks the same. You are a little pawn in this big pool of Haredim. So you lost your identity. And that happens. Some people think, I lost my identity. Like, everyone's from, everyone's keeping Shabbos, everyone's doing everything. So look, you go back, you live in Brooklyn, everyone goes to shul. You meet 100 people in shul, they all look the same, right? I mean, they, you know, they look, their faces are different, but they all, you know, they're all keeping Shabbos, they're all going home, they're with their kids, blah, blah, blah. Everyone's the same. We lose your identity. No. How you put on tefillin is different from how he puts on tefillin. How you do a mitzvah tzedakah is different from he does. How you daven is different from him. You have your own individual private avoda, private work. Your tefillin might be in the highest level of avoda, and the same person putting tefillin might be in a lower level of avoda, and no one can tell. It's not something you can tell. It's a private thing. Avoda with Hashem is a private thing. You know, in this world, things which are very private become very public. They take things that people, that men and women do privately, and they put it on Facebook, and they put it on all sorts of things. And we're not animals. These are private things. There's a reason these are private things, because these represent a very special connection. We also have a connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We also have our yichudim with him, our oneness with him. That's how we do a mitzvah, not how we put it on, not the action, how we think when we're doing it. How we think is our privacy. If we're not there, if we're not even thinking about how we're doing it, we're missing out on the privacy, we're missing out on the pleasure of being with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, whether in our davening, whether with other mitzvah we do. It's not just the action of doing it, it's important, the action. It's how you do that action. That's what's really important. That depth of action is what makes you an individual. And it can be a million miles away, one avoda from another. The same two people staying in yeshiva, doing the same action, can be a million miles away. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, that's how we don't have a problem of identity or expression. We can look the same, because outside we're supposed to look the same. Who cares? We all look the same, more or less. We have a nose, eyes, right? Big deal. But how we are, our voda pnimi, our inner involvement in the world, that's what's private. And that's what makes us an individual with our own character, our own form of expression. You with me?
Yeah. What's wrong with sharing that sort of level of connection and intimacy with the rest of the world?
You're talking about avoda with the Kodesh Baruch Hu? You're talking about the world, the physical world.
The private moments we have, we're like very...
No. You mean the private moments of your own avoda? That's private. No one who's real and who's a good person would speak about his intimacy with his, you know, his spouse. No one would speak about that. Right. You wouldn't speak about how you care for your wife or whatever. You wouldn't speak about that, right? So now, with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, it's private. Not everyone, you should understand something. On a certain level, not everyone's going to understand you even. On a certain level, you know, you're davening, whatever. And it things which are private, you don't express outwardly. You don't, because,
someone says,
I learned on Leil Shavuos, I was up the whole night learning, right? If people see you, okay, you can say if you're a rabbi and you're saying it to the group of people to give them a cheshek for learning, or you tell them, you know, fine, you can do that. Or you tell stories about rabbis. You should know something. They asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, you know, there's a concept of 36 hidden tzaddikim in every generation, right? So he said, we know who the gedolim are, we know who the big rabbis are, where are they hidden? So he said, no. We might know who they are, but their actions are hidden. They don't show everything they do. They don't tell you their inner things. They're very quiet. These people are very quiet about it. They hide what they do. They don't want to show. They don't want to be praised for it, because it also takes it away. If you know something you do, because if I'm doing something with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and I'm going to get praise from you for doing it, I need your praise for something I'm doing with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It weakens it, in the mezalzel in it. I'm doing it, there's a little bit of tinting on it.
Even if you do it after the fact, someone comes up to you and says, hey, you're such a good Kabbalah, you're dominant.
Okay, first of all, I want to tell you something. Usually, right? So if someone can praise you, someone, that's fine, that's okay. You say, yeah, okay, thanks, and that's it. You don't make a big issue of it, right? Say, oh, yeah, I had a great downing. It was like, wow, I was really feeling close to my creator, right? No, you don't do that. That's not what you do. Yeah, okay. No. Right, you know what I'm saying? If you're teaching someone, and in order to teach them, you're explaining to them what davening is, and you can use yourself as an example, maybe, even then, it's better to use other people. But that's okay. You're trying to bring them on. They know you. You're trying to bring them onto a concept of a level of certain things conceptually. You understand? So that you can do. You know, if you want to explain a Maisa Chesed, so you know a Maisa Chesed, and you want to explain how you made a mistake, or how you think, right, you can do that.
Is that there's just something intrinsic about us that publicizing things that are very deep and very
yeah,
deep
things
belittles them.
Yeah, you would not speak about something private in your own relationship. It's a zilzal in the relationship. It's private. It's with you and your creator. How you think, how you know, your inner self is private. You don't want to go around telling people about your inner self. If you want to teach, you want to teach another person how to get there, that's different. So you might do that, you know.
Sure.
There's gemaras that certain talmidim walked under their rabbi's bed. They walked under Rav's bed, right? To see how Rav behaved with his wife. Right? There's gemaras like that, yeah. That's also Torah. Then he found his talmid, and his talmid told him, Torah, it's Torah, and I have to learn. Right? So Rav didn't tell him off. He heard. Yeah, okay. Don't do it again, but okay, right? If any of us do that to our rabbis nowadays, you're out of your shiva. Once upon a time, a person could do that. It was terror. Nowadays, it wouldn't be terror. Right? We're not on that level. But you understand? Even private things, if it's to learn terror, so you can say them. Because you want to help the person to get there. But for no reason, it's private. It's not something...
And understanding also, is just the way the Kosh Baruch Hu made us.
Huh?
That understanding of the intrinsic understanding.
It says the Gemara says.
To sanctify things that personal.
Yeah, yeah. Litznuyim chokhmah. A person who doesn't say what he knows, right? Obviously, when you're teaching, you teach something of what you know, but there should be a little bit of a hold back. There shouldn't be everything that you know you should say. Litznuyim chokhmah. Because you know, if you listen to a person's words, yeah? In a person's words is usually more than he says. You know, the Gemara says, Shatak Rav. Rav was quiet. And the Gemara goes a whole droshes, whole limud of what Rav meant when he was quiet. Sometimes we learn more from the quietness of Rav than we learn from Rav's statement. There's bigger sugyas when Rav was quiet than Rav actually made a statement. Because sometimes the shtika tells a lot more. You know? Sometimes when a person answers you with a shtika, with a quietness, you can learn why he was quiet, because of this, because of that. There's a certain limud that you can learn there. Not everything is to be expressed. Certain things are expressed partially. and the partial expression, then you leave for the Talmud to work out the rest. Not everything, you know, depends what. Some things have to be expressed fully. Some things which are more private, have to be expressed not fully. Right? That means pnimiyas ha-Torah, the inner depths of Torah, that has to be expressed not fully. Simple, pshat, Gemara Rashi Tosfos, you explain, got a good shiur, explains the whole way, the mechanism of learning. You with me? There's a difference. Now let's get back. I've lost my little bit train of thought. We're going back to where we were with tefillin, right? So how is this the tefillin are achshara of Torah? Are preparation for Torah? Because how we become a unity in this world is through our shibut to Kodesh Baruch Hu, through our nullification of self to Kodesh Baruch Hu and his mitzvahs. That's tefillin. Zichron, the potency that we have our mitzvahs. Right? That's the nefesh, shivim nefesh. Right? So when we become one with our Creator and one with the Jewish people, then we can have the Shefa of Torah. Then Vayichen Sham is then the Shefa of Torah, the Kabbalah of Torah. You understand? That's the same thing with Purim, like I said before. So that's how tefillin is Leman Tieh Torah Hashem Beficha. The whole Avoda, right? And the Gemara says, what's considered Kabbalah Malchus Shleima? It's when you put on tefillin with Kriyat Shema. That's Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim Shleima. That's complete Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim. Why is that? Because what's Kabbalah Malchus? That I am an expression. I'm Dal V'Aniyah. That's a Yehudi. That's a Shevet Yehuda that we explained. Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha that we started off with. When I am a full expression of God's name in the world, I represent His expression of Malchus. That's Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim Shleima. That's Dafka with Tefillin. Tefillin, the potential of expressing his mitzvah, zichron mitzvotav, the potential, which makes us unify ourselves with our fellow Jew and our Creator. And then tefillah. Tefillah, we all know what tefillah is. Tefillah is achna, is a subjugation that we learned 2 weeks ago, subjugation of self to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be an expressing of his will. So it's the same thing. That's why dafka, do you put on tefillin, Kriyat Shema, which is the sea of Kabbalah Malchut Shemayim, and then tefillin, it's kiaton for tefillin, because that's also an extension of our Kabbalah Malchut Shemayim. We're omed lifnei ha-melech, we're standing in front of melech, and that's what tefillin is. And if you look at the tefillin itself, right, it's against our heart and against our minds. The four boxes, our four senses and our heart, right, was the expression of those desires of our four senses, right? The one box, which is one heart, the expression of those desires. That's why it's four altogether here, right? And if you look at, there's a nusach that we read before tefillin, we put it on our heads, keneged ha-moach, against our thought, our mind, because the neshama, that's a seat for our neshama, our mind is a seat for the neshama, right? That's where the neshama rests and permeates us through there. And against, and that should be only our thoughts should be mishubed, which should be nullified klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then against our hearts, that all our desires should be desires with regards to the rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not after taivas in this world, the desires of this world. That's what tefillin of our hands represent. It's a shibud. It's a nullification of self. It's, what does shibud mean? It's a lean. It's a servitude. It's the servitude of our minds and our hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When our minds and our hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are we expressing? The potential of Zichron Mitzvotav. The expression of His will in this world. That's what tefillin are. That's when we put on tefillin. That's why a Jew, before, you know, many years ago, used to wear tefillin the whole day. That's what he was. That's what a Jew was. He was the expression of God's will in His world. He used to work with tefillin.
And this one was hidden.
Yeah, no, this one was hidden. The top one's hidden.
That one was hidden?
Yeah.
This one was hidden.
That's also hidden. It's in the Gemara, this one's shown and this one's hidden. But it's brought down in Sfarim, this one's... Okay, it's both are hidden. Tefillin's a hidden thing. Why? Because tefillin, it represents a private... Something very private. It's the potential... Our potentiality. We're showing where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it says they'll see your tefillin, they'll see your tefillin in your head, it'll be clear that you're wearing tefillin. Not because you're wearing tefillin, they see a black box and they'll be frightened from you. They'll be clear and they'll see how you behave, that you're behaving like a yid. You're behaving like a proper person. person who's fully expression of God. Can you imagine wearing tefillin the whole day? You can't joke around. You can't have frivolous talk. Frivolous thought, forget it. You had only pure thought. Can you imagine wearing tefillin the whole day? Only pure thought the whole day? Even when you're eating. That's what Jews were once. That's what we were once. Once we used to walk around with tefillin. Can you imagine a whole yeshiva walking around with tefillin? You go to the bus, you get on the bus, right? You're walking around with tefillin, right? People think you're crazy, but in theory, you're walking around with tefillin the whole time. I'm sure that that's why the goyim thought we had horns. You know, they see this thing sticking out, piece of leather like sticking out. Maybe not, I don't know. Didn't do research on it. But what's Karan or Panav? Right? Also, they thought we have a horn, you know. So when the Chumash says Karen or Panav, Moshe Rabbeinu had a horn, right? What's a Karen or Panav? What's a Karen or Panav? They weren't so wrong in that. It wasn't such a bad mistake as we think. Let me explain to you why. I'm sure those represented the tefillin. Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama permeated him. That's why Karen or Panav. That's why he had beams coming from his forehead. His neshama permeated him completely. What does that mean? It means, anachnu ma hitalinu aleinu. There was nothing in him. He was just the rotzen, the shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the messenger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His neshama completely permeated him. He represented a complete expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. That's why Teres Moshe is not Teres Moshe. It's Teres of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Aspekloria Meira. It's a clear vessel that was given. There was no blemishes in the Torah that came from Hashem. He was just expressing Kulo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Karen or Panav. That's what tefillin are. The tefillin represent that Karen or Panav. And it's brought down in Sfarim that when you're wearing tefillin, our neshama permeates us. That's tefillin sheberosh, in our heads. The tefillin, our neshama goes into our heads. Our tefillin causes that neshama, gives us the ability for that neshama to be in our heads. What does that mean? That means the rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which our neshama represents, that potential, permeates us. That's a zichron mitzvotav. That's the potency of Klal Yisrael. The potency of Klal Yisrael is tefillin shibarosh. The tefillin in our heads. The zichron mitzvotav, the remembrance of those mitzvahs, like we say, loshon zachar, the male, the potency of a person, that's the male. And we are that female to express that potency in this world. We are kiviyochol, the female of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kiviyochol. That's why Shir HaShirim is the love of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of a male to a female. It's a love song. Shir HaShirim is a love song. And we say it's Kodesh Kadoshim, the Holy of Holies. You have to get something clear. In Yeshiva, we're all working. We have to learn a Gemara. This guy knows how to learn a Rabbi Yehuda Eger. This guy knows how to learn a Gemara well. Okay, fine, good. It's great. Tremendous. Brilliant. You can now learn Chumash, now the thing. What about your relationship with God? You feel Him more? You talk to Him? You spend time thinking about what He wants you to do in the world? You're interested? No, it's great to be Jewish, have a nice family, da 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 da. What about your avoda? What about your serving of Kodesh Baruch Hu? What about the pnimius, the yichud, the cheder yichud? Can you imagine getting married and not having that private relationship? That's marriage? How can you have, I'm learning Gemara, but it's okay, so long as I read the Rashi's and got it. You feel a kesha? You feel connected to your Creator? When you're davening, you feel a kesha? You're improving on that kesha? You're improving on that? There's a build-up now that you're a year, 2 years in yeshiva? That now what's going to happen after this? It's going to be more of a build-up? This is just a start? You have 120 years to make that kesha. This is just a start. That's what it's about. It's not about just, oh, now I can learn Gemara, now you know, I can wear that jacket and the hat, and you know, I can be like a frum Jew, and no one will know that I'm a Baal Tshuva. That's what it's all about? No. No.
Take that jacket off.
Right? I wear that white shirt, right? And you know, you see it. People come, you know, in the mirror, all of a sudden they're from Mochon Yag, wherever it is, right? They wear the black hat, and they're like, They're from. They made it, right? We made it. We got the Borsellino, right? 900 shekels. Okay, it was worth it, you know? 2 years, right? Maybe it's more. I don't know nowadays, right? We got it. We made it. Garnished. Garnished. That's a start. That's a start. The real start is not that feeling on your head, that Borsellino on your head. It's what's in your head. You have a Borsellino in your head. That's what it is. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what tefillin is. That's what we are wearing. We're wearing an art, a sign that we're a servant of Kodesh Baruch Hu. And when we wore it the whole day, that's all we were. That's what a yid was. A servant of Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm an expressor of his will. I'm an expressor of his malchus in the world. So at least we wear it shachris. You know, at least we wear it shachris. Baruch Hashem, we wear it shachris. It's a booster. It's, you know, a neshama booster in the day, right? We have our Wi-Fi on, we're connected, right? Make sure we get our email today, right? We got it, we did it.
RSSP.
Okay, whatever, RSSP, what is it called?
RSSP.
I don't know what that is, but I'm sure people who, yeah, will know. Right? Okay, we got it, we started off. Now we started off with that booster, that Malchus Shamayim, let it be mamshich into our day, let it continue into our day, let it be expressed into our day. Let Shem Hashem nikra alecha. That's our purpose. If you ask, in Klalit, what's our purpose in the world? To be expression of God's will. Shem Hashem nikra alecha. V'yir'u mimcha. And they'll be fearful of you. Not fearful in a bad way. Fearful in a respectful way. I is a Jew? Yeah, I'll do business with him. I is a Jew? I trust him. I is a Jew? Yeah, he won't cheat. I is a Jew? Yeah. Once upon a time it was. People used to tell me. I used to live in a certain shchuna, in a certain neighborhood, where, you know, these old Sfarim, right? And the Moroccans used to tell me that, you know, one of them told me that, you know, once upon a time, back there, they used to, the Arab used to steal, and they used to run away from, like, the Arab policemen or whatever, and they used to run into the shkuna, they used to run into the Jewish neighborhood and dress up like a Jew, because Jews had a little bit of a dress, right? And no one even suspect that a Jew would steal. The Goyim didn't even suspect the Jew. So that's how you used to run away. You'd run into a Jewish school. No one of the Jews steal. Jews don't steal. There was never a Jew who didn't keep Shabbos. There was never a Jewish lady who did something wrong. That's what Jewish... That's. We're not talking about hundreds of years ago. We're living in a crazy world, you have to understand. There was never a time in Jewish history that so many Jews live like Goyim. So many Jews don't even know Shema Yisrael. And even us that know Shema Yisrael, and even us that Baruch Hashem, when Yeshiva and we're all, we're not influenced. So we're still, you know, we're half Jewish. We still have half which want to be like the Goyim. We have this aspects of us. We still enjoy going down to the bar or doing the bar type of things. Or that meal, or that thing. Where's our avoda? Where's our avoda? Where's our yearning for Kodesh Baruch Hu? That's what we have to awaken in ourselves. That's what's really being a Jew. We have to awaken. That's our avoda. That's what we have to do with our lives. You understand?
Yes.
Zeu.